are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today it is October 6th, 2021. My apologies for not posting the last few days. I was in Cleveland, Ohio for a doctor's appointment. Everything is good, but that's why we didn't have any episodes the last few days. On today's show, I speak with Mark Daniels, the play-by-play man of the UCF Knights, about what UCF brings to the Big 12. This was recorded a couple weeks ago, so I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast, and joining us today on the phone, it is the voice of the UCF Knights. It is Mark Daniels. Mark, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Number one, I just want to say, I know it was a losing effort, but your call, your final couple calls of UCF and Louisville was fantastic stuff. As somebody who does a little play-by-play myself, I have to say that was very well handled. Just kind of take us through that. And I mean, you've been doing it for so long here now. Is this kind of natural, or is there, you know, how do you call crazy moments like that? Because that doesn't happen, you know, let alone every game. How about every year you get a game like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of live sports. And no matter how many years you do play by play, whenever you think you've seen everything, you're reminded that you've not seen everything. And for a football game that had no turnovers, and then to have back-to-back plays where UCF is in a position to maybe win that game and steal that game, their defense comes up with a great interception by a player that hadn't played UCF's first two games. And then with momentum shift into UCF, just the bizarre of a play that looks like it's going to be a first down for UCF, and a ball hits a receiver and bounces up in the air, then a wall of blockers. And, you know, by the time the Louisville player got to midfield, you knew that he wasn't going to be stopped. He had a wall in front of him, and it's just the emotion of watching that play. And it's at Louisville, and their crowd's going crazy, and you're just like, wow, unbelievable that you know, watch that. But that's why we play the game, and you can't win every single football game, and I'm sure there's many other moments ahead that I'll find myself like, wow, didn't think that would happen. And sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't.
You know, talk about your experience at UCF. You've been doing it for 26 years, and talk about the growth, really. I mean, you know, this must feel like a huge moment, because to see, you know, UCF, where they've come from to now they're joining a what is considered a Power Five conference. I mean, the growth must have been so exciting to watch, and, you know, to reach this moment must be pretty validating for those at UCF Athletics.
Yeah, it's actually year 27 for me, but in the 26 prior to this, you know, I my first year for UCF was in 1995. It was Dante Culpepper's first year, and UCF was making the transition of what then was known as 1AA, now we called FCS, into Division I, now what we call FBS. And it was a time that UCF really did not have a lot of money, took a lot of money road games to play. And yet, because they needed money, scheduled a lot of big games. And UCF's early football reputation in Division I was the team that came close, that didn't win these games, but went to overtime at Ole Miss. Should have won a game at Auburn, then a fluke play of a ball that bounced that was run back for a touchdown. A lead against, you know, number one, or team that went to win the championship in Nebraska, and things like that. And then to watch it grow from an independent to play in the MAC, because they needed to be part of a conference to schedule, to Conference USA and to the American, and now an opportunity to go to the Big 12. So I've seen a lot of growth over the years where UCF went from barely keeping its head above water to, you know, being one of the better G5 programs from a facility standpoint, a recruiting hotbed, and then success of the football field. It's, you know, it's certainly come a long way over those 26, now 27 years.
And what's the reaction been like? You know, I know you do sports radio down there as well, too. What's the reaction been like from the fans to the news that Cincinnati is going to be joining the Big 12 Conference? Has it been overwhelmingly positive? Has there been some mixed emotions? What's the fan base been saying about this move?
Well, there's obviously a level of excitement, because it's been frustrating for, you know, UCF fans and those involved in athletics to watch how labels get placed on programs because you're not part of a fraternity of other schools. And UCF didn't play a football game until 1979. They're about to join a league that has had football programs in existence for more than 100 years. That's not the fault of UCF, but it's been the label that's been painted that, well, if you're not in one of these leagues, you're not as good. Your facilities aren't as good. Your fans aren't as knowledgeable. All those things that UCF has fought, when the reality is UCF is joining a league that has some wonderful brands, but from a standpoint of its TV market size, of its enrollment, of its alumni base, it is racing past what will be new members or new partners. That's not knocking them. It's just the reality of where you are from a number standpoint. And to be told for years, there's nothing you can do to join one of those major leagues. There is no model like European soccer that there's promotion and relegation. So you could have a 25-game win streak like UCF did in 2017 and 18, and it didn't bring you any closer to being in any of those, quote, Power Five leagues because the system isn't structured like that. And yet, in some ways, UCF did play itself into the Big 12. What's the value of what became 41 wins over 4 years for UCF from 2017 to 20? Well, it made them a more attractive candidate that when an opportunity came about, in this case with the Big 12, they go, where do we want to go with expansion? I mean, if UCF doesn't have those wins, they're not in the Big 12. And so in some ways they did play their way in, but yet it was frustrating to have that model over 4 years not give you a chance, and it took the move of Oklahoma and Texas to open that door. So there's a level of excitement, but it's been frustrating over the years to be told, well, you're not able to join one of those leagues simply because you didn't exist 80 years ago.
I think it's a really interesting point you made about playing yourself in to the conference, because I think you look at a school like a BYU and they're joining, right? And they have a really strong brand. And look, they win a lot of football games, yes, but there is an extra element there, you know, to the LDS community and their support across the country. It's a great fan base, not saying it's just a reason why, but that's helpful. Houston is in one of the largest markets in the entire country. Cincinnati is a school in a major Midwestern city. I think the idea that, you know, like, do you think there's a possibility where maybe it's USF that joined the Big 12 as opposed to UCF? If UCF had not done what they needed to do and get on this hot streak and win all these games and become a brand the way they have, maybe it could be a team like the Bulls that we see, you know, or a program like USF going in. You think it's more of a credit to UCF and what they've built, because this could have been another team, it feels like, in the state of Florida potentially?
Go ask South Florida that question. They'll tell you yes. Look, in 2017, UCF and South Florida played arguably the game of the year in college football, 49-42 on Black Friday. Mike Hughes with a famous kick return that turned out to be the winning score. If you take a look at the trajectory of both programs from that day forward, they're both top 20 programs. UCF wins this incredible game. They go on to beat Memphis in double overtime the next week and go on to beat Gus Malzahn's Auburn team in the Peach Bowl. South Florida never recovers. Charlie Strong is gone as their football coach. They have a losing record since then and now kind of wondering where their future is. UCF won that game, completed the perfect season, and an undefeated regular season next year. So the answer to the question is, yeah, UCF doesn't – if the situation is a reverse, South Florida probably – is in. And yet you're talking to somebody that believes when the Big 12 thought about expansion in 2016, having the vision to see the future, and to some degree I still believe this today, you would be smart to take both schools. The combined TV markets, enrollment, and alumni base of UCF and South Florida dwarfs anybody else in the country. I mean, if you combine the two TV markets, it's a top five market. If you combine the two enrollments and alumni bases, they're better than anybody else in the country. Now, again, the reasons back in 2016 to not expand, that was what the Big 12 decided. And I'm grateful that UCF is getting in, and there's that rivalry part that you don't care about, you know, with South Florida. But from a business model standpoint, the numbers are there. So, but it ended up being the choice of one. I don't know what the future is going to hold for South Florida. I'm not in the group that believes there's a guarantee the Big 12 is expanding in a couple of years. I know that was a kind of a big internet thing when, you know, the Big 12 announced before that, well, they'll just expand in 2 years and take Memphis and South Florida. I don't know that. I'd rather be in now than have the assumption that they're going to be in a couple of years. If they wanted those two schools, why didn't they take them 2 weeks ago? So there's all those things that I think come into play, and I'd much rather be in the group going in than the one hoping to go in.
Quick pause for the cause on the show today. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Whether it's college football, pro football, Formula One, boxing, MMA, baseball, whatever it is you want to bet on, they've got at BetOnline.ag. They've got a new updated site and interface with even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football right now. Go there today, sign up, it is free to do. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, Locked On. You'll receive your 50% deposit bonus there today. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. That war in I-4 really potentially defined some of this actually realignment in a pretty shocking way. If from outsider's perspective, say a Kansas State person were to ask you, what is UCF bringing to the Big 12 conference? You know, what would you tell them about that alumni base and the programs that they're bringing and, you know, the TV market? If somebody from one of those schools in the Midwest asked you, what is UCF bringing? What would you tell them?
Well, some of the basic numbers, the largest enrollment in the country that's only going to get bigger, that because of how UCF is built will be the biggest school in the country foreseeable for the next 50 years. A alumni base whose average age is 37 years old, that within a decade will turn out more alums than some, this is not a knock, than some Big 12 schools have in their entire history. UCF will be turning out about 20,000 alums a year over the course of a decade. That's 200,000 over the course of, 20 years. I mean, you can do the math. Television market in 2 years, it'll be top 15 in the country. An economy that's growing, that will continue to grow because of how many people move to the Orlando area on a daily, monthly, and yearly basis. A rabid fan base that sometimes gets under the skin of people known as the UCF Twitter Mafia, that probably, and I mean this as a compliment to some, becomes the most disliked fan base in the new Big 12, but I don't think some UCF fans mind that. A recruiting hotbed that every program in the Big 12 and in the country wants to come to Florida to get players. A great destination for fans to travel to because obviously of our weather and all the bells and whistles that come with Orlando, which includes theme parks and beaches not that far away. A rising academic institution that has shown its growth over the years with a growing medical school, one of the top hospitality schools in the world, and many other areas of growth. So that's who you're getting that'll be joining the Big 12. And as you mentioned, all four of the new teams have their pluses as to what they bring. And I think UCF can hold its own when it says this is what the resume is for UCF coming into the Big 12.
What's the place in the conference that you're most excited to travel to? Especially, you are the play-by-play guy. So you get to, once COVID's over, not sure what your situation is now, but full travel for basketball and football and whatnot. What is the place that you're most excited to go to? Or you can give a couple places if you want to.
Well, we are traveling in football this year. We did not basketball last year. We are this season. So certainly by the time we get to the Big 12, I've been fortunate. I've done games at Kansas State, both football and basketball. We had a famous delay at Kansas State. There's some great pictures you can find online. It looked like the world was ending with a storm that was coming in. Done game at West Virginia. And so all the other destinations I'm looking forward to. I've not done a game at Iowa State. I've not done a game at Oklahoma State. We played Baylor, but that was in the Fiesta Bowl, so their new stadium in Waco. Texas Tech, I've heard great things about the college town, there. And I've been to Fort Worth, not done a game at TCU, but a broadcast games in Fort Worth, and obviously Houston and Cincinnati and BYU we played. So I've been fortunate all my years. I gun games at more than 220 campuses across the country. But one of the neat things about the Big 12 is I'll get to add a few more schools that I've not yet been able to broadcast from. And I know UCF fans look forward to that. The American's been a great conference for UCF with some great destinations. You're flying into major cities. And in the Big 12, you're talking about some really good college towns that I think myself and UCF fans look forward to.
One more break in the action on today's show. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar in the game today. Go to built.com. That's built.com. Check out the 9 delicious flavors available. They've got coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There really is something for everybody. 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs in a lot of their bars. It's the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So go there today, built.com. Try the promo code LOCKED15, 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 and you'll get 15% off at built.com today. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
I mean, Fog Allen Fieldhouse, right? And that's the destination that you're – have you been yet or no?
No, not done a game at Kansas, either football or basketball, so certainly the great tradition there, and obviously, you know, the other great Big 12 basketball programs. So we look forward to – you know, going to those arenas, and I think those schools will look forward to coming here. UCF has to do its part in elevating its basketball program. It certainly knows it's going into arguably one of the best, if not the best, basketball leagues in the country, even with the two leaving and the four coming in. And I do think joining the Big 12 is going to help UCF elevate its program. We had success, you know, a couple of years ago, both the NIT Final Four and then second round of the NCAA tournament, and I clearly believe the move to the Big 12 is going to help that profile as well.
They were so close to getting Duke. I mean, just so close to getting Duke in that game. It felt like they should have gotten them. You know, when you think about how they're going to align the divisions, I've been asking everybody this. How would you like to see it done? I think that UCF should be with Cincinnati, West Virginia, Iowa State, and then maybe you throw in the two Kansas schools. So you can keep the four Texas schools together and add on Oklahoma State and BYU with them. How would you like to see them divide up the conference when it's time for the Big 12, you know, do that split?
Yeah, I mean, an East-West seems like the most logical plan for the reason that you just stated. It makes sense to keep those schools together. But television is going to dictate a lot of this. I think that every conference is trying to maximize its exposure and fight for the best TV slots so we can play the geographical game. And, again, the plan you just laid out seems like the most logical one. But, I mean, I guess we'll have to see. I'd have a hard time envisioning a North-South matchup. Mm. But traveling, you know, being in the American, UCF has lived in a world of unique travels like West Virginia has, obviously, in the Big 12. I mean, for us, a conference game at Tulsa, it's normal. Basketball going to Wichita State. So the American's been spread out. It's not as regional as a lot of other conferences. So, I don't think that would be that big of an adjustment. So my guess is an East-West, but we'll just have to see as we get towards, you know, whatever year this happens and whether it's in 23 or 24.
Touch on UCF football before I get you out of here. You know, Gus Malzahn, I'm a huge Gus Malzahn guy. I think he's an excellent coach. I mean, how many guys can say that they've beaten Nick Saban multiple times? He's one of the few guys who can actually say that. What are your impressions of Gus in his first year there? And, look, I just love the fact that, you know, the guy could have sat down and just taken the money and not coached, but he's decided to come out and do so at UCF. What's your impressions been of him so far, you know, as the head coach there?
Well, I like Gus a lot and getting to know him over the months since he got here in February. I think several things stand out for Gus. I think he's really embraced being in an atmosphere that is perhaps not as toxic as it became at Auburn, where there was a portion of a fan base, and it may have been more than 50%, that were not supporters of Gus. Their expectation for the program and their feeling about him, and I think that wears on you. And I think some other elements, both inside and outside the program, perhaps made football not as fun for Gus. And I think he's welcomed the chance to be part of a program with a fan base that has embraced him. even though we lost a game, and some fans think you should never lose. But I think he likes being able to coach again. He's calling plays again, which he gave up at Auburn. I think he's enjoyed that aspect of it, hiring a staff and a newness of something. And I do think Gus has quickly learned what UCF can be and how he can help its growth. I think he realizes that there's a lot in place here that gives UCF an advantage over not just D5 programs, but of a number of mid-level and lower-level P5 programs. But UCF's facilities are on par with most mid-level P5 programs. I mean, there are some of those big brands that, you know, just have $150 million budgets, and we've got about half that. But as far as the stadium we have, the facility we have, the expansion plans we have, the recruiting opportunities, the young alumni base, the corporate base in Central Florida, I think Gus has kind of embraced that. I think he also sees how passionate this fan base is. And I think those things have him excited. And there's a value to his experience. Having worked with Scott Frost and Josh Heupel, those were guys that were first-time head coaches. And they were successful, but there's still that learning curve of being a first-time coach. And I think Gus coming in here with a decade experience as a head coach, you saw a different way of doing things. And it's not that you can't hire somebody as a first-time coach to be successful, but I think they'll always be the first victory, but also the first situation where the player gets in trouble. The first big conference win. And the first time admission says, no, we can't get this player in. So I think Gus's experience has helped UCF in a lot of ways. I do think he's in no hurry to leave. Whether it's his last job, I don't know. But it certainly helps that he's got $20-plus million in the buyout from Auburn. He's still being paid very well by UCF for our standards. And I don't think he's in a rush to go anywhere. I think he sees that there's a unique opportunity to still have a lot of first at UCF, which makes me feel like other younger coaches that may have used UCF as a stepping stone, which is fine. I mean, they're leaving, and that means your program's in good shape. But I think Gus might be someone that settles down here for a while. I know he and his wife really have enjoyed living in Orlando the last seven months and are comfortable with it. And, you know, I think he sees a chance to win at a high level here.
I was going to say, you know, in closing, how important is it for them to keep a guy like that, you know? I mean, every fans, you know, I've seen the Florida State fans and some other fans who are upset with their coaching, so Nebraska fans mentioning Gus Malzahn as somebody they might want. And look, you know, I don't think it's out of the realm possibility those schools explore bringing him in. How important is he think, that, you know, to UCF to keep him, especially a guy with experience at the SEC, to keep him in a time where they're going to be transitioning to a power conference?
Yeah, I don't think Gus is going anywhere this season. And for Florida State, they've got enough deals with buyouts. Gus's buyout is really big if you want to go get Gus Malzahn. And I'm not quite sure some schools that have to buy out current coaches are going to want to add that amount to it. So I don't think Gus is looking to leave for many reasons. One, I don't think he would do that to Terry Bahaker, the athletic director that he has a great relationship with. He's being well compensated. He'll be well compensated at UCF moving forward. And the other factor is, you know what, there are always jobs available, whether it's in 3 years, 5 years, or 7 years, there's always jobs available. But I do think that Gus is here for a while. I don't know how long a while is. It may be his last job, but I think with three games in, let's let him get through games 4, 5, 9, and 12 and have an off season. Again, I don't think Gus is going anywhere for buyout reasons, and I really think he enjoys Orlando, and I really think he likes where UCF is headed, facilities, recruiting, conference, big games coming up on his schedule. I think he really looks forward to a lot of those opportunities in the years to come.
All right, Mark Daniels, the voice of the UCF Knights. Mark, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, guys. Take care.
That will do it for today's show. I want to appreciate Mark Daniels for coming on and giving us some time a few weeks ago. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOPig12. You can follow me at JoshNeighbors_. Make sure you find us on YouTube. It's Locked On Big 12. Subscribe and give us some comments, some ratings as well on there. Once again, Locked On Big 12. You can check that out today on YouTube. All right. Until next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.